We are going to take our Bibles, and we are going to the book of Proverbs this morning. I've entitled this teaching, The Pursuit of Happiness. Something people are looking for. Where is it? It's out there somewhere. I guess the next question would be, what is it that people may be looking for, thinking that whatever it is they may capture, you get it like with a butterfly net or something? You start looking around, hunting out in a field for it? Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. But this brings up a question to me. How do you find it? Is it just by chance? Is it just by luck that one stumbles into it? Is it kind of like you're just walking along one day and you just find it? Kind of like finders keepers. You find happiness. You find wisdom. How do you find it? It's an interesting question. The end result of finding it is that you're going to be blessed. Because that's really what the word happy means from the Bible. Look at any concordance. You'll see the word happy and you'll see the word blessed. This says, happy is the man, and that's an all-inclusive noun, includes women too, so don't feel left out. Happy is the man or woman that finds wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Can you believe this is actually written? She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy and blessed is every one that retaineth her. Is it just happenstance that some find her and some don't? How do we find it? Are we just walking along our path in life and there it sits? And like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, we got it. And some are lucky to get it, and some are unlucky who don't get it. You think God would work that out like that? No, I don't think so. Look in Proverbs chapter 2, because God gives us instructions on how to find this wisdom. And the best understanding, the best definition I ever heard that kind of stuck in my brain about wisdom is that it's really knowledge applied. Knowledge in and of itself is just knowledge. It's in the application of that knowledge that we really begin to grow and to learn and to understand and to become wise. Like the manifestations of Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is what to do in a given situation about which it is humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know anything. Word of wisdom, what to do in a given situation. Those two go hand in hand. Those are things God works within us. Those are part of the package. Spiritual man, Christ in you. Nine manifestations. See, we operated two of them here earlier, but there's seven more. See. Talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Proverbs chapter 2 says, my son, Now here's a big word. If. If thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord does what? Gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the path of judgment and preserves the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enter into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Bob just wrote a great article about cause and effect. That's exactly what this is about. Talk about the pursuit of happiness. God gives us little signposts, little things that we can actively put into practice in our own lives. It's not like stumbling along on our way down to Starbucks and we just find wisdom. You know, we may think we found wisdom after we've had the Starbucks. You know, but God gives us practical keys because God is the author of wisdom. That's what He says. Verse 6 said, "For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth come knowledge and understanding." So I don't think this is really a formula, but you know, if you go through these steps and begin to look at them, in verse 1 it says, "If you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." The first step in this process of getting blessed is going to be receiving the word of God and then holding it fast, holding it in your heart, holding it in your mind. See, you know why I know that? That's what God's word says. It says, "If you will receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." What does that mean to you? You're using the faculties that this thing right here provides. What is this? That's your ear, right? And what does it do? What does it do? It hears, right? So that must mean that you have to be attentive, listening to the things that God would be revealing to you spiritually. It's called learning to listen. See? Reminds me of a verse in James where it says we ought to all be swift to hear. Slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to anger. See? It's probably why God only gave us one of these. But most of us have utilized it to its full capacity. See? Verse 2. "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Christ after knowledge," verse 3. "Liftest up thy voice for understanding." Do those sound like practical things that possibly we could be doing? See? It is indicating to me a quality and an attitude of heart that is being projected in that God is smarter than I am. Hey, maybe God's got a better solution than this little brain can come up with. See? Verse 4 says, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You place yourself in a situation to be able to receive the word of God and hide the word of God. You place yourself in a situation to incline your ear unto wisdom. Apply thine heart unto understanding. Criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice, seekest, searchest. Those are all things kind of laid on our plate. But it's not like pick and shovel. It's not like you have to labor out there all day long in the hot sun digging a 10-foot deep trench 100 feet long. That would be hard work, wouldn't it? You see, we live in the grace administration where God gives things to people without having to work. They're free gifts. All God wants is the attitude of heart where we would just look to Him. What do you think? Rather than trying to always figure it out down here, you know, with our head down, so to speak. We've all been there. See? For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, the reality of it is, it's really interesting. We're going to go to Psalm chapter 1. Or Psalm 1. And just keep in mind that that word happy is the word blessed. But a lot of times, you know what, we associate happiness with, sometimes, you know what, a person could actually be blessed and happy without, like, hysterically laughing. I mean, they don't have to be like, you know, just going off, hysteric. I mean, you could still be really blessed. I mean, people project that differently, you know. Look in Psalm 1, it says, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. There's the individual. There's the man that's happy. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at Jeremiah. Keep going a little bit further there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, verse 17, chapter 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Says, blessed is the man who that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Again, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It says, blessed is that person. Happy is that man. And when the storms of life come along, and when the droughts and famines of life come along, it says that individual will continue to be fruitful. He just won't cease. He will continue to prosper, even when things are, you know, maybe five senses wise less than the best. Jeremiah chapter 15, go back a verse. And this is a great example of what that instruction is in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 is one of the all-time greatest verses that's ever been written, maybe. It said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, you and I all enjoy a good meal. Sushi, barbecue, salads. Many people are very particular about what they eat, how they eat it, when they eat it. But you know, I find this verse just really fascinating, that the Word of God was found, and this was Jeremiah's attitude towards it. The words were found, he did eat them, and that means he assimilated them, he digested them, he was hungry for the Word. And that's what I see in that Proverbs section too, is there was a hunger to receive the word, a hunger to hide the word, a hunger to incline thine ear unto wisdom. See? And the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. If you find yourself where you don't see yourself really that hungry spiritually, pray about it. Ask God to increase your hunger for spiritual matters. Because I think that's a prayer God could really go to work on rather quickly. See? Hunger spiritually. Gospels, remember Christ said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled. You know. Filled. Christianity is not rocket science. It's not that complicated because we are dealing with Almighty God here, who is very, very, very simple. That's the way truth is. Very simple. See? When it gets complicated, you need to step back from it a little bit and wonder what the heck is going on, because truth is simple. God is simple. Man, extremely complex being. Oh, Lord. Look in Job 23. You know, Job had his issues. Got into some very trying circumstances. If you're not familiar with Job and what happened with him, you're certainly welcome to read that at any time. Tremendously wealthy individual. Tremendously wealthy. Great family. He lost it all. Lost everything. And then he also had health issues on top of that. His whole body was covered with boils. Probably not a real pleasant situation. I'm going to read a verse here in Job 23, verse 12. That I think was a real key in Job receiving his deliverance, which he did. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Those words are coming from the lips of an individual who never lived in the United States of America, didn't have hot and cold running water, flushing toilet, nice refrigerator with the ice maker, all the comforts of home. This guy was desperate. But yet he says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth, God's mouth, more than my necessary food. Most of us are going into hyperthermal shock or something if we don't have a meal just as soon as we need it. If we can tell when our blood sugar's hitting, bam, we got to have something, and we got to have it now. It's probably good God doesn't ask us to fast for 40 days, 40 nights. Most of us would never make it through like 1 or 2 days, you know. We'd be like so hard to live with, you know. But, you know, there's many comparisons in God's Word about an analogy between this Word of God being food and the correlation between it and physical food. And I know many of you people, I've had meals with many of you people, and most of you people love food. Love it! And some of you are very even passionate about it. And will only go to certain places. I mean, I could mention a restaurant right now, in your mind you could go, oh. Or I could mention another restaurant and be like, yeah. You know, you dissociate all sorts of good feelings and emotions and fellowship and things that go along with eating a meal. Remember when Proverbs chapter 2, how God said we were supposed to go after the Word of God? The kind of hunger spiritually we were supposed to have in going after the Word of God? Searching for it as for silver, trying to just do whatever it took for hidden treasure. See? You read records of guys like this who just went through tremendous issues. It makes a confession like this. It's really something. Look at Psalm 119. What a great subject. Psalm 119. Almost every verse mentions the Word of God. Psalm 119, 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, David was a very, very, very wealthy man. He gave $9 billion of his own money and gold for the building of the temple. And you might sit there and say, well, if I had $9 billion extra, I might give it too. But yet the heart of what he's really saying here is, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all of that stuff is worth it. Think about your life. Think about my life. And how much time and energy and effort we put in to making physical riches. And compare that to how much time you put in and I put in searching the Word of God as if it were a treasure chest just waiting to be opened. I don't think God would just say that kind of to fool us. I think God says that because God knows more than we do. We're going to close in Psalm 23. Because I kind of pulled a little trick on you here in my title. If you can remember it. It was called The Pursuit of Happiness. And what I'm going to read here, Psalm 23, is that we do not need to pursue happiness. It's pursuing us. Sometimes we just need to slow down and don't be in such a big hurry long enough for it to catch up. We're so out there trying to get it. It's actually behind us. It's pursuing us. You know, it's just like, wait. But you see this verse in Psalm 23. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That is the word pursue. Goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. It's right there, folks. It's not something we're going after. It's something God wants us to slow down and acquire. Blessed is the man. See? Blessed is the man. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just take a moment this week to let mercy and goodness catch up. We'll be blessed. See, you don't have to go out there chasing it. It's right here. It's chasing you. And it wants to catch up with you. See. We don't go down to Starbucks and find a big bucket of happiness, wisdom, knowledge of God, all these things. God gives us practical instruction on how to very simply walk with Him. And that's all it's all about. It's the relationship we have with God Almighty as a result of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now it's up to us to implement that by free will. Because no one's holding a gun to your head to do it. What a blessing. What a cool little psalm that is, huh? It's like the Lord is my shepherd. He's really the one guiding my steps. And He's going to take care of me all the days of my life. See, I can be assured of that. I can be confident in that. So let's have a great week, and let's take some time in God's Word to receive that Word, to hide it, to be good listeners. See? To spend a little time in the Scriptures searching some of the treasures that are there. A little time to apply your heart. A little time to cry after. A little time to lift up your voice. A little time to seek. A little time to search. The end result of taking these tiny little baby steps will blow your mind. Because you know what? You move 1/8 of a centimeter and God moves about 10 miles. So what happens when you move an inch? Woo! Super spectacular. See. So let's put this Word of God to the test. Because this Word says you're going to be blessed as the end result. Okay? All right, Father, thank You for this great Word of God that we've been so entrusted with and blessed with, and that we can approach this Word with just such simple believing and confidence and trust in You to perform what Your Word says. And we know absolutely 100% that You will. And that we can walk forward with the greatest confidence, Father, that You will help us in our hunger for the things spiritually that we need to be our very best, to be dynamic men and women in this world. And Father, if our hunger is not where it needs to be, that You will get us hungrier so that we just are like ravenous people when we go to this Word and zealous for the things of Your Word, Father. And if we need an outlet somehow to unload some of the things that we're carrying, that You provide that as well, and that we can just look to You with the utmost love and humbleness of mind, Father, and that You will help us along this way in this life. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? All right, God bless you.